All right, open them Bibles up to Matthew chapter 6. While you're going there, good morning and welcome. Welcome at home. Hope you're warm and comfy. I hope you guys are warm and comfy too. If not, the thermostat's in the back. You know, I tell you, sometimes last week I was cold. I went back there. Were you guys too warm? Cold too? I don't know. I got cold. I turned it up there. You know what happens though when you turn it up and kind of forget about it? I was wondering in here why, how come on Wednesday? I'm like, boy, the church is warm. And I was in here on other days, didn't come into the sanctuary. And I'm like, boy, it is just, I'm like, oh no. So church has been heated for a lot this week. Sorry about that. Lori, you may see the bills change a little bit. That's me. I'll try to remember this time. Anyways, I know that's a beautiful picture of it. I know that. Anybody else excited to be a living offering? How many of y'all know what happens to an offering, though, he's talking about, right? It's a burnt one. Whoa, a little toasty, man. I can't even go out in the sun 15 minutes without getting crisp. So burnt offering doesn't sound too pleasant. But what happened with the burnt offering? It was consumed on the fire. But by the grace of God, we are offerings meant to be offered to God. And in a way that what? Do we all get burnt up and that's all that's left? No, He sustains and provides so that we are a continual offering for Him. How many of y'all know that we get to be an offering for God that's perpetual, right? Anybody else been impressed? Hey, I tell you, I was talking to Christine this week. She was talking about trees that she's had, some of them, like plants for 20 years. Y'all ever had a plant you kept? I'm amazed I made it 6 months. Brenda gave me a spider plant and it's still alive. Can I get an amen? Now, sometimes that's because, but Brenda would come into the office and look at it and go, oh no. And then she'd come and tweak it a little bit and take care of it. I'm like, boy, the plant's looking better. She's like, I know. Because she knew how to take care of that plant. So she helped me along, but it's not dead yet. Praise God. Sometimes we recognize the blessing of this because there is at times an attitude in all of our hearts. Anybody ever felt like you've put out so much you got nothing else to give? Yeah, I think we all know that. And we look at the generosity, especially at this giving season. How many of y'all are excited to give? Is it a neat thing? I know that I took the boys out, and I shared this recently. The boys got to go Christmas shopping, and I took them out one at a time. The funny thing is, it's really funny that when you take them out with their money to give, presents are different, but when they know that Dad will help a little bit, oh, I want this for them. It's like, slow down, hold your horses. I'm glad you want to give, but that's not with your money you're giving. So, hey, sometimes we like to give more when it's not ours, but that being said, I was so happy, and Luke's not in here, so I'll embarrass him now. I took him out to go shopping, and I said, Luke, what do you want to get? And he's like, great, I want this. I want, no, what do you want to get for your brothers and your sister? Oh, and I saw the sweetest little thing in him open up, and he says, I'm going to get this for Noah. And I said, why is that? Because this is his favorite color. It was sweet. And he says, what do you want to do? And then he found like this cute little pink and purple fluffy Tyrannosaurus Rex and says, I want this little fluffy stuffed animal for Eliana. I said, that is so sweet. That's great. Well, we went home, right? Now, he gave these things. We did a little different thing on December 6th, and we give out just some stocking, small gifts, you know. If you can find an excuse to have more Christmases, your kids aren't ever going to complain. They're like, okay, little gift exchange thing. We did that. And so I noticed, though, the next day, that's kind of funny. I remember from the color. I said, Luke, there's a Hot Wheels, that one you gave to Noah. Why is it in your bedroom? He said, well, I was playing with it. I said, didn't you give that to Noah? Well, yeah, but he wasn't playing with it. I said, well, maybe you should give it back. And then that same day, I go out there, I get a cup of coffee, I'm going to sit on the couch, I'm getting my Bible out, I'm going to do some reading. And all of a sudden, Luke comes up and snuggles up next to me, and I'm like, oh, good dad moment, right? You come here, let's snuggle while we do this. I look over, what do you think is in his hands he's hugging? But a blue and purple Tyrannosaurus Rex stuffed animal. I said, Luke, didn't you just give that to Eliana? He said, no, it's mine. Very matter of fact, I said, Luke, but you gave that to her. He goes, yeah, but her favorite color is pink. My favorite color is blue. Now, he didn't say it just so happens, but the attitude was there. It just so happens that this is a purple and blue Tyrannosaurus, meaning it's for me. I just have to explain, going, how many of those gifts did you just kind of absorb? And I said, son, I know you're happy that you gave it to them for a night. But the intention was that they are their gifts to keep. and that we are to enjoy giving and to be a blessing to other people. And we don't get those gifts back, you know? Those belong to them, and it's for them. And it's interesting, because I was, you know, praying about things like, Lord, what do you want to talk about as we're giving to Christmas? And it's like, I want you to go back to Matthew. And I was like, what? Sermon on the Mount. Now, again, I'm just talking about my feelings. This could all be in me. I just think God has a funny way of doing things, because I thought, going back to the scriptures where we're going before, walking through, how is that going to work out? So I just said, okay, I'll trust you. Let's do this. And then I look at it, and it's talking about what? But about how we can give to other people with the right heart. And I'm like, oh, you know better, don't you? I thought, no, let's not go back there. That's not going to be what we should do right now, but he knows best. So let's open it up together, and we'll read the first four verses of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And he says, be careful. Beware, your translation might read, not to practice your righteousness in front of others. Maybe yours reads almsgiving. There's a side note to that. But he says here, be careful not to practice this righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by men or people. He said, truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, y'all know that that idea continues to carry on, right? Because y'all know when Jesus wrote, you know, things, and I don't know if he wrote down the Sermon on the Mount or he just stood up and just let Holy Spirit speak through him, right? The Chosen, if you've been watching, that has Jesus writing down, he's having Matthew dictate sermon notes. I don't know how Jesus' sermon prep went. Now, the funny thing is, you know that whatever it was, did he really need it like that? No. But whatever it was, I don't think he sat down. As you know, he didn't say, okay, now we're going to end chapter 5 here. This next verse is going to start chapter 6. Because what, if you could sum up so far the Sermon on the Mount in one word, there's a lot of them. We talked about it, but what do you think it would be? How about righteousness? How about understanding what the righteousness of God is? Being right, being in right standing. Because our righteousness, he says, even the Pharisees and scribes, the most righteous people you know, theirs isn't enough to get in. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of theirs, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Anybody else scared at that moment? Yeah. I said, oh, no. That's like saying, unless your wealth surpasses that of Elon Musk and Bill Gates, you shall surely not enter the bank. You know, with something like that. You're like, well, how am I going to do that? It's impossible. But how many of y'all know there's some things impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. And he says, here's what I'm going to tell you, because he's talking about what righteousness looks like. He first describes it in the heart of a believer, somebody, I think, born again, as he's describing the characteristics of the righteous. And then he goes into these things that were mischaracterized of the righteous. You've heard it said, but I tell you. And now he says, but I want you to be careful. Don't carry out your righteous acts for people to be seen by them. Is that a fair warning? Has anyone else fallen into the trap? Patting yourself on the back a little too much. Or maybe doing something but thinking in the back of your head, look, all those people saw me. Look how good that made me look. Anyone else ever done that? Well, Jesus knows there's a risk of this right here. And so he's warning us. And so he says, hey, I want you to be careful. Right? In fact, the last thing he said in chapter 5 before he goes reading or speaking and preaching is, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. In all these matters Jesus has talked about, he's reminding us to be like God, not like men. Not like human beings. And the first thing he says, as you have on your notes, is to give, and I'm going to say secretly. Give secretly. How many know God blesses secret giving? I think he does. And there we have this, and he talks about beware your acts of righteousness. How many of y'all know that he didn't say, if you give, right? Now that word almsgiving, that is used, if not in verse 1, certainly in verse 2. It implies you're giving to somebody. In fact, the Greek word ties back to pity, mercy, compassion. You're giving because your heart, you feel something for these people. And he says not if you give, it's when you give. He's implying that it's going to be happening. That we as Christians, when we're walking out the righteousness of God, will be giving to those with pity, mercy, compassion. He says this is going to be something there. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing. Anybody else, maybe when you were a young Christian, now you guys, I know you got it all together, you know better. But when you were reading it, you ever feel, wait a second, Jesus is going off about how to do this all secretly. But remember Matthew 5:16, what did he tell you? Let your light shine before who? Let your light shine, right? He said, before all men, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is where? In heaven. Now it says like, hey, but when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Anybody else wonder, going, what's right? How many of y'all know that they're both right? Can I get an amen? Amen? What does it have to do with? Is it about giving publicly or giving secretly? Or is it about the heart of our giving? And why are we doing this? And it goes back to the point, right? And Jesus clarified it in here in the verse. He says, don't do your righteous acts before men. But there's something after that, right? He didn't just say, don't do them before men. He said, don't do them before men to be seen by them, right? And so secret giving is a good thing. But it's not always a secret from others. Because our hope is that our lives will exude the righteousness of God. So that we will literally be acting out in a way that other people will notice godly actions through His children. As He blesses you, as He uses you, you are meant to be a walking testimony of Christ. That God's blessings might come from and through you. But of course, it goes back to our hearts. He says, not so that you may be seen. Remember, what are the righteous acts meant to do? Is it just in us? He says, so that they might see your good deeds. So that they might praise your Father in heaven. The good works that Jesus was describing were intended so that we could produce praise in others for Jesus. Isn't that a neat thing? And so that you, if you're ever wondering, boy, Lord, I wish people would just worship you. Part of our help to get people to understand God's glory is demonstrating His character. How many know God sometimes will pass stuff off? You guys all know, like, you know, has anybody actually ever played hot potato with the real hot potato? There you go, with the... Yeah, we'd get in big trouble if we handed hot potatoes to little kids. What are these burns on my hand? It's an object lesson. Your kid's fine. We can, no, little Neosporin, little ice, they'll be okay. Bring them back tomorrow. We're playing more games. That's okay. If you guys have ever been in youth ministry, you know that almost any youth game you do is almost going to end in certain death or injury. I used to praise God when we would do tackle football in the mud and nobody had a break. Sprains, okay, but oh, no broken bones this year. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting us. That's not wise ministry, but you all know that some of those games can be dangerous. But he describes the point, right? He says, don't sound it out. Now, likely, some commentators think, and they've looked at this and taken it very literally. Now, normally I would say you take everything literally as best as you can, unless the Bible in context tells you otherwise. We don't have records of people actually giving with trumpets. Some commentators have said they thought that was the practice, but going back, most folks say we don't think that was probably more of Jesus' hyperbole. A little bit of exaggeration. The bottom line, no matter what, is that don't go out and do things and then announce it so that you can be seen doing it. I'll give you guys an example that I'm kind of ashamed of. A good Christian person did some great work, and they said, I want to give God honor and I want to bring attention to the church. So you know what they did? They said, you come with me when I give these things. And I said, I've had nothing to do with this. This is your ministry. He goes, yeah, but I want people to meet my pastor. I said, okay. And then we get to these places, you know, and they're saying, oh, thank you so much. And I can tell them, I said, you know, you need to thank God. And this lady over here did the work. She just brought me along as her plus one. You know, I didn't really have a lot to do with it, but she's a part of our church, a wonderful lady. This is a ministry of God. And then the paper shows up and starts taking pictures. You know what that gives an impression of is that I had something to do with this, and I had nothing to do with that, outside of just getting invited along. That's even put up downstairs. It kind of embarrasses me because I can't take anything for that. I had nothing to do with that good work. But you know, it can give the impression, right, that we're out there to do that. I wish I were part of that work, I got to say. That would have been neat. The only part I had was driving in the car on the way down there and having someone take capture this likeness and put it in the paper. I had nothing to do with that, outside of just being affiliated with the ones who did. And you know, that sometimes has to be our attitude when we look at the way God blesses through us, isn't it? Because let me ask you this. When we look at that scripture and it talks about God blessing through us, and he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Is he really warning us about, at that point in the scripture, about not letting others see? Or is it more about something internally? Why would my right hand and left hand, you know, as they're talking back and forth, you know, did you give? No, I didn't. What are you talking about? No, it's not some kind of weird mental issue. He's saying, guys, when you're giving, yes, don't do it ostentatiously before people to be seen by him. He says, in fact, go so far as don't even do this. How many of us have kept a mental record of what we've done that's good and kind of felt a little warm and fuzzy? Oh, look what I did for that person. Oh, no, don't cover up, because you know when I say that, I'm sure maybe we've all had that. Unless you dear saints are a lot, probably y'all are, a lot better than me. I know I've done that before going, boy, that made me feel good. And Lord, look at all this, and I start remembering, look at blank, and look at why, or maybe even when I'm discouraged, and I've gone thing, well, look at all the good I've blah, 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 and it's like, oh, you're missing it. I'm literally trying to figure out my left and right hands, what they've been up to, so I can feel good about who? God? Myself. Remember, God, when he passes on that blessing to us and it's in our hands and he says, I want you to now go bless somebody else, right? How many of y'all know that when we're getting those blessings and we are even faithful to that part in blessing somebody else, sometimes, I mean, what is supposed to come back, right? What is supposed to come back on back up? Thanksgiving, right? That it might produce praise, that God might receive glory. How often have we tried to snatch that glory, right? Like an interception. The ball's coming. Oh, I'm going to get some. Pull it down. It's mine. Run to the end zone. I've got the glory. I'm running with it, right? Hey, that happens too sometimes. That's right. We reach up to grab it and the guy says, no, I'm passing this to you. And I'm going to tell you with some of that, I want you to go bless somebody else with it. And then you know what's coming back my way? Glory. Don't try to grab my glory. Don't try to hold on to all my blessings. If I tell you to give, I want you to give it. But on the other hand, don't go try to snatch it out of the air so you can feel a warm fuzzies. Remember, he says, if you're doing this to be seen by men, to receive the reward. He says, what reward do you have in heaven then? Nada. We're trying, as you know, and it's a very easy cliche in the church, to follow an audience of one, right? Can we sometimes stumble? And the audience of one is this one here instead of that one up there. And if I'm trying to please an audience of one, he says, hey, if you're seeking that for yourself, you got it. They appreciated it. Enjoy. But I've got better rewards for you. And God is warning us to watch out about those gifts, right? I got to be careful. I'm not just knocking Luke, but when I take him out next time, we got to have a little discussion ahead of time again. Remember, you're not picking these for you to have tomorrow. They're for them to have, whether they appreciate it or not. How many of us have done something sacrificially for another person, and then you could tell they didn't care one bit about it? I tell you, I got bummed. I thought I was doing a good work. I went and did something for somebody, and that made me feel good. I'm doing God's work. I'm doing a good work. And then in the conversation, when I realized that they didn't much care about what I had done, where do you think my heart went? I took time, money, and effort to do X, Y, and Z. How many of y'all know if you're burned by that, it's probably that you were more thinking about yourself than God's glory? Oh, you know, I was upset because I wasn't getting glory back. Who's going to get the glory in the end when we do things for the Lord? He is. Whether or not they appreciate it or not, God says, hey, do things that they may see it and give your Father glory. If they don't give God the glory, is that my fault? Or was I upset because glory didn't come back my way? You know, my hope is that God would be praised, but in the end, I should trust God for my reward, and I should also trust God for their praise to Him. Now, I can encourage them to do that, but if I start getting, I forgot who said it, but I've remembered it well, and I still have to follow it and remind myself of it every day. He says, if you are called to be a servant of God and a servant of others, don't get upset when they treat you like one. If you're meant to be a servant to people and they start treating you like a servant, anybody else ever get a little angry about that? How dare you treat me like a servant? Wait a second, I'm supposed to be a servant, right? Our pride gets hurt, right? We give a gift and it's not appreciated. We give something and it feels like, oh, they didn't care. It's not about us, is it? It's about being faithful to God and what He tells us to do. How many people, especially, look at Jesus, who gave more than anybody else ever has in the history of the world, and how unappreciated His gifts are by so many people. If anybody ought to be upset, it's God, because He has given liberally to so many of us in this world. How many billions of human beings have rejected the grace of God? That's hard. But that does bring it to our next point as we look. Number two, to give liberally. There's a couple things in life where it's good to be liberal. And giving, and giving liberally is one of them. God blesses a liberal giver. Paul in 2 Corinthians was talking to the church and he's encouraging them about their gifts. And he says, now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. How many of y'all know sometimes we have to give gifts to help out others? Amen? And God is using this in His church for churches who are doing well to send to churches who aren't. And sometimes those gifts were there, and He's reminding us to do this. But I want to keep reading on a little bit in verse 11, because it gives us something really neat. So jump from 2 Corinthians 9:6 to 2 Corinthians 9:11. And He's talking about the blessings that they'll reap for their giving. Not only, He says, if you sow generously, you will reap generously, right? Does anybody else think that's good? If God is promising, if I'm going to give, He's going to bless. And that's not the only place in Scripture which has talked about that, is it? We know that it's in Proverbs. We know that it's throughout. If we bless and trust God, in fact, what did Jesus say? Matthew 6:33. Y'all know it. He says, if you put My kingdom first, all these things will be added to you. The things that you are worried about in life, the things that you are seeking for, which you need. Do you not know that your Heavenly Father, He knows when the sparrow falls. He can count the hairs on your head every day. And if you've been like me and pulled them out of the drain, you wonder how many are left. And He says, I know how many you have today. I know how many you'll have tomorrow. I'll give you what you need. Follow Me and trust Me for this. And He says here, not only will it you be blessed. In fact, He says, you will be enriched. Sorry, guys. It's good. Everybody learned this. By the way, I had like 5 Tic Tacs, so y'all didn't have to breathe coffee if you come up. I'll get more later. But I'm glad you guys are clear in the front. He says, you'll be enriched. And in what? He says, enriched in everything. 9-11. But then the next thing, for all liberality. So He tells you that if you are going to invest in God's kingdom, God will invest in you. That's good news. Then He says, well, in what? He says, in everything. Not just money, not just possessions. God's desire is to bless you. How many of y'all sometimes, though, we're always thinking of the one thing God hasn't quite blessed us in. We're like, this would be really nice right now. I'd like this area to be a blessing for me. But I love that last part. He gives us the why. He says, you'll be enriched. Woo! In everything. Woo-hoo! For all liberality. Oh, wait a second. He's going to bless you and enrich you so that you can continue to give. You're like, oh, I thought if I gave, I got to, that was, the rest was for me. He says, no, give and I will trust. I'll provide for you. But His blessings is not just you provide so that He can enrich you and we can do whatever we want. He says, I want to enrich you so that you can continue to give with liberality. That's an exciting, exciting thing to remind us of where our hearts should be. Because again, remember, when we are giving for God, we are hoping to produce. In fact, go to point three right now. It says, give to give thanks. Because what is the product of our giving? Again, it's producing glory for God and giving thanks. Thanksgiving. And the rest of that, verses 9 to 11, it says what? It says, for all liberality, right, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Is it producing thanksgiving in us? It should be. But He's talking about the recipients. Our giving to people we may never see, never know, never talk to, may in fact, and will in fact, produce a thanksgiving to God. How many of us have wondered when you've packed a Christmas box, how that was received? Sometimes if they'll catch up with us afterwards a few months later, and they'll tell you where your box ended up. I've heard of stories of people that they found, they got to see on film their box opened and got to see, and they're like, that's my box, you know? If nothing else, sometimes they give you reports. Your box went to this country, or your box was received by these kids. Sometimes they can't tell you a lot of stuff. Sometimes you get to know, and what a blessing that is, right? And you know what? Those people may be thankful of us, but we can't pull anything from that. But glory to God. Glory to God for giving. How many of y'all know it doesn't take much sometimes to really bless somebody? Not that much. I was in a conversation this week where I was struggling personally in that same way. And somebody, well, I was just praying for a brother, and they're praying for me, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, we've got real issues. And how many times when you try to help somebody, anybody ever feel remarkably unhelpful? Like you're just stumbling over yourself, you can't do it, and it's like, Jesus, I'm giving my everything for this, but I feel like I just don't have what it takes. And I was talking with somebody for a few hours, and I'm tired. My head can't think straight. I'm drinking coffee in the middle of the night to try to stay up and just pour into what I can. And then I just feel still like I'm failing in it. And then I just, you know, it's okay, we got to hang up. We got to go to sleep. Okay. And then as we're praying for each other and I'm praying for the situations we're talking about, praying for life. And then this person prays and says, Lord, would you remind Ryan? Even though it seems like he doesn't even think about this stuff and doesn't know it, would you remind him the blessings that he is for other people, even when he thinks he's not? And that was a help to me. Because when I felt like I was trying to give and I had nothing to give, you know, and I don't even know how much I really was blessing that other person, but by the grace of God, I think by the Spirit of God, it helped to say, you're giving and you're doing it. Trust me with the outcome. I am at work in you. Y'all know that God can work through us even without without us really being aware, right? He moved the kings to bring Israel back home. He moved people where he wants to. He brings nations and brings them down. God of the Bible is pretty powerful. How many of you all would rather work with God than against him? His will's going to be done no matter what. It's kind of like you ever talk to that parent and it's like, you can either clean your room or I can make you clean your room. I would much rather work with you, mom and dad, than work against you, right? May that be our hearts. Maybe that's too close to home, hence the room cleaning stuff right now. But we recognize that our Lord desires to work with us for his glory, his blessing, for our blessing and for the blessing of others. So that we don't hinder that path of blessing and giving and the path of thanksgiving and glory going back to God. Man, I tell you, I know a brother in Christ who also approached another brother in Christ and just said, hey, I want you to know right now that things are bad. But I also want you to know that through it all, my trust in God has not wavered. I tell you, isn't that a good thing to hear from somebody? And at first you're thinking this conversation, oh no, what's happening? All these things have happened, whoa, is me. And you're like, oh, this is terrible, what are we going to need to do? And the person says, but I want you to know my faith has not wavered. I also want you to know that I learned that from you. That in the midst of this, no matter how bad this is getting, I've learned to trust God and seeking him for the little things that will sustain me. And I want you to know that I'm okay. Because you taught me to trust in God. That's great, folks. Because sometimes we're worried, oh no, how much more do I have to give? What's going to happen? And the biggest payoff is to see somebody say, I have learned because of this that I can trust in God. Don't intercept that pass back up. And also recognize that in our desire to liberally give, God is desiring to bless us, that we can bless, and he received the glory. Oh, he's going to get it. How many are looking forward to glorifying God forever? Amen. Amen. I know when I talked with Kristen, our dear sister, whose service for Ben is on Tuesday, 2 o'clock here. We'd love to see you if you can come. I know there's already lots of folks helping downstairs with food. If you're able to come and help in anything, we'd love it. There's also a couple cards in the back if you'd like to sign those for Kristen. So this will probably be the last Sunday they're out because it's Tuesday. Only got a few more days. If you could sign something for her and the family, that would be nice. But 2 o'clock on Tuesday, we're going to be here to celebrate Ben and his life. And I remember just asking her, are there things that you'd like talked about? Very brief message. Very brief message. She says, well, I want a gospel presentation. And she says, we always talk about God's glory. She says, can you focus on His glory that Ben is seeing now? That's exciting. Why does God get the glory? Because He's glorious and He's due it. And that's one thing for our dear departed saints, is that they are now seeing the truth of God in ways we have yet imagined only. And we've read in the Word. That's exciting. That being said, folks, a city on a hill cannot be what? Hidden. You can't hide it. There is no way, if you're living for Jesus Christ, that you'll be able to hide His glory from working in you. Ain't no way. But what we do want hidden, what we do want to remove, of course, is our desire to be ostentatious, to present God's glory or service in a way that brings glory to us. Not a conflict. So what are we to do? To let your light shine there, right? To be an image bearer of God and directing the glory back to Him. No more interceptions, but trusting in our good God who desires, when we continue to give, that He desires to bless us, not just for ourselves, but also so that we can continue to be a blessing to other people. You ever talk to somebody, maybe you're one who said it, if I stop now, I'll never start again. People who said, when I retire, if I stop moving, I won't be able to get up and get going again. I've heard that so many times about people when they stop working, they stop trying, they stop serving, they stop doing, they just, that's it. I know John, our brother, who's in a very nice facility right now, was worried about that. And you can imagine many times he said, God, would you just take me home to be with Becky? And in our times and talking in the last few weeks, he said, you know, I did pray those prayers a lot. But you know what I found out? I'm still breathing. I still am here. And so instead of praying, God, take me, I'm going to focus on how I can share Jesus with all of the nurses in my facility. And he said, I'm going to work at how I can share Jesus with all these other people. By the way, John's with a bunch of ladies, just so you know. I think I told you, one of them's got a crush on him. And it's pretty bad. I think she told Debbie when she was in there, she goes, make sure he talks to me more. I'd like a little more attention. We're like, oh, really? I know. But his thing is, you know what? If I'm around today, and maybe I only have 5-6 people in a day I can talk to, he says, my focus now is, God, use me as a witness. Even from this bed if it has to be, or from my walker, or from a chair, help me to be preaching and demonstrating Christ. This is my witness. He says, my missionary field is now a living room and a bedroom and a bathroom. But praise Jesus, He's still got me people around here, and not all of them know Jesus yet. So He's excited. What a neat thing, right? You betcha.
That was his thing,
too. Yep. Amen. I hope so. Let's pray for that end, for the righteous blessing of God's giving, that we would continue. Let's pray. Father, I'd ask you, first, thank you very much for this opportunity. I know that even right now in preaching, Father, I run the risk of trying to take any glory that you were deserved to stuff it in my own mind and heart and say thank you when your Holy Spirit works, when people are moved to think it was anything of me. Father, would you please humble me and not allow me to take any of your glory. Would you do the same in all of us, Father, as we are your church, and we are desiring to bless others for you because you've blessed us, whether it is in our time, our talents, our sharing, our preaching, teaching, our gift giving, our money, whatever you have given us, food, services to bless somebody else. May we seek only to please you, not to please ourselves, not to please men for our own sake, but to please you, God, and trust that your provision will be enough for us and enough to continue to bless for you. And may you receive all the glory because you promised that our reward is going to be a heavenly one as well. That is eternal and beautiful, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. And it's your reward that you have kept safe. And it's not bad to look for rewards. Help us to put our minds on the right rewards, doing them out of a heart and a love for you above all else. Help us to spot the signs of when we might be seeking a reward for ourselves, that we would know when it's just for man-pleasing, and even then that it's just for me. Even when we stand up and preach, oh, this isn't about me, even in our hearts sometimes we can still harbor that little desire of recognition for ourselves. Lord, remind us that those Tyrannosauruses are not for us, and those Hot Wheels are not for us, but help us to trust you for our reward and how you give generously to all, and your desire is to bless your children, and your desire is for us to bless others. May you receive all the glory, and everything that we are looking forward for eternity will come from your hands. Lord, bless this church and remind us how to love others in giving. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our true Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.